wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the
Shay
and Shah podcast.
How's your week been, actually?
Yesterday was so much fun.
Oh, it was. Yeah, we had a good time yesterday.
You know how I was trying to think of what my pet peeve was for the unpopular opinion? I hate people who blow on their food.
Is it like Islamically you hate it because people's not supposed to do that, or...
That helps that it's Islamic, but at the same time, I just can't handle, like, it literally, because yesterday when I was trying to think of what to say, that's literally what I was thinking. I was like, people who blow on their food, like, if I'm watching a video and I see, even one time, I'm leaving. It's nasty. All that spit.
For me, I don't care if they do on their food, but I always hated when like, people would blow out their birthday cake candles.
Aww.
Because I'm like, now I'm not eating that, you disgusting. It's like, now your spit is all over it.
Really?
Yeah.
Even as a kid, you had self-control?
No, maybe not as a kid, but when I got older, I was like, ew. Because, like, you know, because, like, Islamically, you're not supposed to, like, blow on stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even my mom, like, growing up, she'd always, like, grab something.
If she
had to pull something down, she'd grab, like, a paper plate or something to fan it with, so... That's so funny though.
My dad does too, like he. But people, even when they give it to their kid, they be like, oh, and I just be like, oh my goodness.
You know what else my mom used to do is like, if it was like a hot drink or like tea or something, she would just pour it back and forth until it cools down.
And that works fast.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a placebo effect, but it works.
Yeah.
But just.
It does. That's funny.
When people blow on their food, it just makes me want to just.
Yourself.
Oh my goodness. I think I saw a video yesterday and I was like, this is what it was. I can't stand it. Subhanallah.
That's funny. Well, how was it last week? We were talking about like bid'ahs and like the different things that people do that really aren't Islamic. And for me, one that I really, really hate, like it makes me so angry when I see someone do this, like I feel my blood start boiling. Is when people finish prayer and then they fold the corner of the prayer mat and they're like, because if you don't fold it, the shaitan's gonna pray on it. I'm like, let him pray. Like, that's his work too. If he wants to pray that bad, let him pray. It makes me so mad when people do that because I'm like, where did you get that from? Who told you that?
I thought he was just stepping on it.
I don't know. I've heard he'll pray, he'll step on it. Like, it makes me so mad when people do that.
Yeah, it's crazy that anyone ever believed that.
Miskin, you're a victim.
I used to hear this thing where they were like, if your shoe was facing upside down, it'd be cursing God.
Yes.
Is that true?
No.
As you can see, we still learn it.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
That's also a bit, that is not true.
I used to be running to fix shoes. It's because someone just lied because they didn't like it. I'm gonna start telling kids, if you blow on your food, the shaitan don't be...
But see, at least that one has some kind of background there. So, like, the other stuff is just, like, stuff people made up and they ran with it. But speaking of halal and haram, we're here to talk all about halal food, that is.
Yeah, food.
I think we both recently, like, fully switched to eating only zabiha.
Specifically.
Can you explain to people who might not know what exactly that means?
Why don't you do it?
Okay.
I'm just kidding. So the difference between zabiha and a halal, in Islam, halal is referring to permissible.
Mm-hmm.
So just the things that are allowed for us to do, like, what are some halal things for us to do? There's a lot, I just can't think of it.
Live life, I don't know.
Yeah.
Laugh, hang out with your friends.
Yeah, like things that are permissible versus haram is impermissible. Zabiha is... referring to food specifically and how it's slaughtered and how it's prepared, right? So when you're saying I eat halal, like you can, chicken is halal for you,
mm-hmm.
beef is halal for you, right? However, how is that chicken and beef being slaughtered for it to be zabiha
right.
versus halal, right?
So in order for it to be zabiha, it has to be slaughtered, like in the name of Allah, starting with bismillah, like facing the, like there's an etiquette for the way Muslims should slaughter animals, and zabiha has to follow those guidelines.
Yeah.
But you know something I noticed is that, like, so we live in North America, and I noticed that, like, Muslims in the UK and like Australia and stuff, like they clown us because they're like, you guys don't eat halal, which is so funny to me because like growing up, I never thought that like there was like a huge difference between those two. Because I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I don't eat pork.
Yeah.
But I noticed like Muslims in other Western countries are a lot more strict about that than we are here. But yeah, so maybe we could talk a little bit about why we kind of made that transition. For me, I was never really a big meat eater. Like, I would do like, I don't know, like I like seafood a lot, but I never really ate meat like that. I don't know, meat always makes me feel so heavy. And I just hated that feeling of feeling like so ugh and just like greasy and not good. So I've had like periods where I was like only vegetarian or like vegan sometimes and like on and off, like I would switch back and forth. And then I was like, you know what, since I don't eat meat like that anyways, why don't I just eat Zabiha only? Because that's kind of what I was doing anyway, because my dad, he's very like only Zabiha, whereas my mom is not. But at home, we would only buy like meat from like the Muslim butcher, so that's what I was eating anyway. And I was like, yeah, might as well, like, because for me, it wasn't a big, like, it didn't make a big difference because I was never the type to order meat from restaurants and stuff anyway. And I was like, yeah, might as well just stick to only eating Zabiha halal. And I haven't really felt a change. Like, it's just,
Wow, that's crazy. I love meat so much that I got gout.
I discovered this about her yesterday, by the way.
I eat meat so much that I got gout. And I remember when my doctor was diagnosing me, she looked me dead in the face. She was like, you don't fit the stereotype for someone who would get gout. And I was like, what you mean, girl? I'm like, look, duh. Like, what is gout, first of all? But she was like, it's usually for, like, older, like, men. Like, usually that's, like, the category. She said more, like, qualities. But she was like, the older men usually get it. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, 20-something, 21 at the time.
That's crazy.
And I was like, I'm not old nor a man. But yeah, I love meat so much that I got gout.
I can't imagine the shock on your doctor's face when she's like, this little girl has gout.
She said, excuse me?
That's so funny.
But at the same time, she didn't perform, because it was in urgent care, she didn't perform any tests. I heard there's like a test that you have to do to 100% diagnose it. However, once I started cutting back on how much meat I ate, the pain went away. It was going away.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So wild.
So yeah, I loved meat. So for me, I also didn't understand. And I used to make videos, may Allah forgive me, anyone who was advising me and I disregarded it, please forgive me, Allah, subhanAllah. But I would make videos mocking people in the UK for eating halal. And the thing is, it wasn't like a nana na boo boo. It was more like, why y'all so in our business? But
the UK Muslims do be in our business though.
A lot. Like, I know it's gloomy over there, but don't bring that depression over here. But yeah. And one day, I'm going on 3 years. Me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm going on 3 years for eating Zabiha. Because I remember my friend in college, she started going eating Zabiha, like our late junior, early senior year. Mm-hmm. And I remember when she was, I'd be like, dang, Miss Keen, all you eating is french fries. And I would just, and then like, she was like, yeah, I am. But then at the same time, like a couple years later, I was like, oh, let me just use the Zabiha. Like, I started working in an area that where halal food was more accessible. Mm-hmm. So that's what we can, another thing to touch up on.
Yeah.
But a place that halal food was more accessible, it was younger. So I was like, oh, let me just do it. And literally, I just one day woke up and I said, oh, okay, I'll do it. Like, there was no gradual increase, nothing. I just woke up, I said, this is the year. And ever since then, I've just been eating Zabiha. Mm-hmm. And I also thought it would be difficult, but it hasn't been difficult at all.
Yeah.
To be honest, because like I can eat vegetarian, even though I love meat. I'm telling you, I love meat, chicken. Like, I'm not hurt. Give me, please, right now. I love meat, but I was like, it's fine, whatever. If I don't get my protein in through meat that day, I'll just find it another way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, going on 3 years next year.
I wish I kept track of when exactly I started, because I don't know.
You started a little after me, right? Because I started in 22 exactly.
Maybe. But yeah, I have no idea. Because I think even leading up to me starting to eat was a bit healthy. I was already on like vegetarian. Mm. But it was just because I was like, I felt like I needed a cleanse. Like for me, I don't know, vegan vegetarian lifestyle is not sustainable for myself because I need my protein. But so I would do it as like a cleanse, yeah. Mm. Like I would just do it for like 3 months, 6 months. But yeah, I think that's a good point you made too, is that for a while it was hard because we had no halal spots here except for like maybe the one or two or three Arab spots. That's like, I'm sorry, but I can't eat Mediterranean food every day. Like I would get tired of that. But now like we have a lot more halal options opening up, and even some of them are like not necessarily Muslim owned, but like they still have halal options.
Yeah.
Or like even Costco now having halal meat is crazy to me.
Yeah, Zabiha halal.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the accessibility is a big thing. Like in those mm-hmm. videos that I see of other people talking about eating Zabiha halal,
yeah.
I would see, like, it was younger kids. They'd be like, oh, it's hard for me because my family lives in a rural area.
Right.
And accessing halal meat is hard. And I understand. Like, I'm not going to downplay it at all because it is difficult. But if it's an easier transition for you, you should start, like, yeah. as soon as possible. And even for the people who are saying, I live in an area where halal meat isn't as accessible or it might take a little bit, you can... You're striving for the sake of Allah, right? Like you're making a sacrifice for the sake of your Rabb. Mm-hmm. Unless you health-wise need me, like yeah. I can't advise you on that.
Right.
But if you're struggling for the sake of Allah, surely your reward will be greater than the pain that you're going through to not eat meat. And this is coming from someone who loves meat. Like you don't understand. I love meat. Like when people talk about girl dinner, and then they'll be like, I don't need to eat you. Then like, I don't even need meat. Like obviously I've had meals where like just eating something that isn't meat heavy has been delicious. Mm-hmm. Give me the meat. Now, I'm not kidding. So this is coming from someone who loves meat.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the accessibility, if you're able and you have an area where it's accessible, there's no excuse for you. Mm-hmm. Like, cause a friend of mine, when there was a video that went around and went viral, I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was about a girl saying how she didn't eat Zabiha, and it was like embarrassing. If I show you the video, you'll know it.
Okay.
But one of my friends came up to me and she was like, I'm so sorry, because like, remember how I told you I would make fun of my friend mm-hmm. for eating french fries? There was another girl who was like, whenever you go out to eat, do you only eat or like order french fries? I don't remember, she told me that that's what she said to me. But she came up to me and she was like, I'm so sorry, like I didn't realize. And I was like, girl, there's so many places.
Yeah.
And then that night or the next day, I texted her all the places I go to, and I told her there are a lot more that I personally don't even know. And I told her you can substitute it with seafood,
yeah,
or just eat vegetarian. Yeah.
Unless you're a Hanafi, then you're probably not eating a lot of seafood.
Yeah, oh, I learned that yesterday.
I feel like that's why it's so easy for like a lot of like the UK, Australian Muslims to be like to us, like, why the heck aren't you eating Zabiha halal? And I'm like, you don't realize, like, first of all, how big this country is, and like, there are people who live in such rural areas where like they literally don't have access to that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like those people are like I'm sure like that's a circumstance where I'm like, that's different, you know?
Yeah.
But if you live in any kind of city with a Muslim community, you got Muslim halal stores in your area like that you can drive to, you don't really have an excuse. Plus, like, when you only eat Zabiha, I feel like being in an area where it's not so accessible, it's more in alignment with the Sunnah too. Because, like, you know, the Prophet, he would only eat meat, like, what, once a month or twice a month? Like, it was very rare. Like, he wasn't constantly eating meat all the time. And it's better for your health too. So I feel like it's kind of good that we don't have too many halal spots to the point where it's just, like, everything's halal and you're just eating meat all the time again, really? You know?
No.
Although I do say, like, I have noticed a taste difference. I don't know about you, but I think Zabiha
meat tastes way fresh and better than regular meat.
I think it's because the people making the dhiha got flavor.
No, I genuinely think it's better.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't make me feel like how regular meat would, like. I feel like I can eat. I still do feel heavy because, I don't know, my body just still hasn't adjusted to it that much, but it's a lot less heavy and greasy and just gross afterwards.
Yeah. I haven't noticed a flavor difference. Because I'm really trying to think. I'm like, dang, these last 2 years, I don't know how I've been surviving on the video. Like, I don't remember. Because subhanAllah, I feel like when you're doing something for the sake of Allah, it will eventually just start coming easy to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you know it, recognize it or not. Because
yeah.
I literally don't remember struggling often. Maybe there were like one or two times where something, I was hungry and I couldn't eat because of where I was or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine. I
yeah.
have access to food. Personally,
right.
I have access to food, so it's really not that deep.
Yeah.
But
I also feel like ever since we kind of made that transition, like just in the past 2 years, how many halal spots have opened up, you know?
So many have opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you were talking about, maybe it's a good thing that we don't have too many halal options. I'm moving to Texas because of those halal options.
She gonna remind y'all that she's moving to Texas like once every video.
Lord have mercy, subhanAllah. I don't know. Imagine I move there and I hate it. Y'all don't know.
She gonna be right back.
Like, have you had anyone reach out to you? And because actually, when I was first becoming going halal, I had a conversation with one of my friends. Because even in America, so this is for people in the UK and Australia and outside of America, not every single person who lives in America doesn't eat zabiha. That's not the norm. Matter of fact, there are more people who do eat zabiha than not. It's just like the people who are the loudest don't eat zabiha. That's all it is. That's
mm-hmm.
literally all it is. But a friend of mine reached out to me. She was telling me how she started eating zabiha because she was saying how her mother did it.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they all just started eating it, and she realized it was a lot easier. Because at home, I eat zabiha.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah, same. Like, my parents were never going to go to Walmart and just buy meat. Like, it was only from the Muslim butchers.
And that Walmart meat be looking nasty to me.
It does. And plus, it'd be like a whole pack for like $5. I'm like, is that a cow or a raccoon?
And the thing is, I remember my mom used to wake me up 5, 6 a.m. like Fajr, before Fajr or on Fajr time. Actually, before Fajr. And we would go to like this farm area like 45 minutes to an hour away. And that's not that bad for, I know you do it every day. But once a month, to go and get
like
stock up. Like, we would go to this butcher farm place, and there would be a whole bunch of other Muslims there. And like, the men, like, they'll be like, the ladies would be like, hey, can you come cut my meat for me? And then they'd be,
yeah.
And I'd be like, oh my god, I can't do this. But, anyways, I used to hate it so much because, like, afterwards, we would have to come home and start processing the meat. And I was like, girl,
I was never involved in that.
Huh?
That's my thing, I cannot touch raw meat. I'm like, I'll eat it, I'll enjoy it later, but I'm not touching that.
Really? I used to hate it. Like, imagine you were woken up at like 3 a.m. basically, and then you have to come home and you're cutting meat until like after the hook. I used to be so upset, but now that I think about it, I'm like, that's a form of accessibility that, like,
yeah.
It's good meat. It's for, like, those animals were like raised really well in a farm and taken really good
yeah.
care of. The butcher was known, like,
yeah.
well known by Muslims and non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the meat was really, really good, and it would last, like, months. Like, it would last a good 3 months. I don't
yeah.
know if I'm there. But it would, like, last a good 3 or so months.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at the time, I hated it. But now, looking back, I'm like, dang, it was a way for my parents to have accessible,
mm-hmm.
like, zabiha meat.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't get down with the program.
Yeah. It's also nice because I think we're talking about the same farm that all the Muslims go to. Okay, never mind.
Mine is an Amish.
Okay, so there's like an Amish farm where we live that all the Muslims will go to one night, and it's really nice because like they'll let the Muslims there like do it themselves. Like, you'll just buy the cow, goat, lamb, whatever from them, and then they'll let you do the slaughtering and everything yourself and take it with you. So that's really nice. But yeah, we have so many options around here. I feel like it's hard to be like, you can't really say it's difficult or it's hard. You can say it's difficult and it's hard, and it might be a bit of a struggle, but you can't say it's not doable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Because all of because younger people, like a lot of them, like how we thought, them, they were like, chicken and beef are halal for me. But they don't think of, oh, is it zabiha? Like, technically, is it halal, right?
Yeah.
But,
because I know some people, like, you know, we're told that you can't eat from the people of the book, but then again, you get into the whole, like, well, is America really, like, a Christian nation, or is it secular, or what have you? You know, it's, I don't know, I'm not a scholar, I can't go into that, so for me, it's just, like, I'd rather be safe than sorry, especially if it's something that is very doable for me.
Yeah. And even eating from non-Zabiha restaurants, I started thinking about the cross-contamination.
Yeah.
The cross-contamination is what drives me a little insane. Because what you mean, you could get my fish sandwich.
Right, where you just cook that pork rib. You know what I mean? Like, right on top of the same skillet.
And then, like, it adds flavor. So maybe that's why it's so...
That's why it doesn't taste good.
Yeah, right. So that's why I mean it's a little bit trash. But yeah, that's what I had to start thinking about, the cross contamination, because I was like, they don't have like a regard. Sometimes even if you say I'm allergic to bacon, even then they won't. Like,
yeah.
And why do I need to lie to you? Don't cook my food where the bacon is. Yeah. And if they can't accommodate you, you're just gonna have to.
Especially because you really don't know what's gonna happen in that kitchen. Like, it's out of your hands.
Yeah, so.
Which is why it's nice to just have like an all halal restaurant, because you're like, then I'm not worried, because everything cooked there is halal for me.
Yeah, but if you can't, like genuinely can't, then go and ask for things that are permissible for you to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll be trying to convince people to come over to the bright side, leave the dark.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, so you people who live in UK, Australia.
Okay, for them, they have a halal place. Every other store is a halal. Every other shop is a halal place.
Their hotels.
They have no excuse.
I literally heard their hotels cater halal food.
That's wild. Yeah. It's like places that are literally, it would be like, I would go into a place, it'd be like Japanese owned, South Korean owned, all halal. Like, it's wild to me.
Yeah, there's like,
because a lot of their butchers are Muslim.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't have a choice but to purchase from the Muslims.
Muslims in America, step up.
That's what I'm saying. We need to start owning stuff.
Have some shame. Shame. They're going to look at me like, why don't you own a butcher shop? Do I look like I can deal with cows? Please, they're going to trample me and I'm going to be mad and I'm going to give up. I can't. I'm not built for farm life. Okay? And I don't want those animals to testify against me.
But all my Muslims who are into farming, get on it.
Right, don't stop that little garden and stuff. Give them livestock.
We don't want the sun-dried tomatoes. We want cow meat.
Get rid of the basil, okay? We can get that from the non-Muslims. Get me some lamb. I know people hate lamb, but...
Can I tell you something? I don't know the difference between lamb and goat.
You know, I think it's just people trying to be cute.
I hate goat, but I love lamb. Like, that means nothing to me.
I can see it.
Maybe if you put both on a plate at the same time, I could tell.
Yes.
If I taste them. But like, if my mom will cook something, she'll be like, oh, I use goat, or oh, I use lamb. That means nothing to me.
You know, for a long time, I used to think we used to eat beef in my house. Like, I thought it was all beef, like, that we would get from like the halal butcher and stuff. Girl, that was goat. I remember I had a rude awakening. I said, what?
You were eating cow meat the whole time.
Because remember the farm we would go to when we started going to that farm?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference in how cow meat cooks. Like, cow meat gets tender quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The cow meat gets tender quicker. And I remember every time we would cook the cow, we're like, this is a little different. Like, I'm not used to this. Or, like, we would get, like, the hamburger meat. And sometimes I'm thinking about it and I'm like, is that goat meat? That they just made it to the hamburger side.
You're eating goat burgers.
So that's what I wonder. Because even when we go to the halal store, I'm like, a majority of the meat that they sell to us is literally goat.
Mm-hmm.
So
Why do Muslims like dope so much?
Because it's good. I love meat, you guys. It's my advice. Don't get gout.
Yeah, that's wild.
I literally used to have
that,
a hard time.
Is that what kind of like pushed you into eating so bad too? Is like being diagnosed with gout.
It's not funny. I'm sorry. It's not funny.
No. Nothing pushed me. Like literally, I just woke up. I think I was eating Zabiha when I got gout.
Really?
I don't remember. I'll have to check my medical records, and I'm not gonna do that. Maybe I can ask one of my friends. She's in medical school, and I'll be telling her all my business. Like literally, I'll be sending her my blood results.
That's funny.
But yeah, don't get gout.
Stop eating all that red meat. Have that or not have that. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't get gout.
Yeah.
Stop eating red meat or limit it. Don't eat as much as I do. Do you have any tragic Zabiha stories? Or sad?
Yes. It's not really sad. It was kind of a pathetic night for me. So this is like when I first started eating, I think, Zabiha. Or I don't even know if I was eating Zabiha at that point, or I was just vegetarian. I don't remember. But I think it was right before I was like strict about it. I was in California with my friends, and we went to a Korean barbecue place.
Oh.
Bro, imagine, it was like $30, $40. I'm sitting there eating lettuce all night long.
They didn't say, let's go? They said, mm-mm.
Imagine, I wasn't even mad, I was just sad because I was hungry. I was like, I just paid $30 to eat lettuce. I was eating lettuce, I was eating that little seaweed stuff. That was it.
Well, I have a question, they don't got like rice, noodles.
There was rice. I did eat a little bit of rice with my lettuce.
That's a sad meal. That would
irritate me. It was a very sad meal. It was like, that was our first day there, and I was tired from traveling, and I was like, whatever, like, let me just go to sleep. I'll eat sleep for dinner today.
Oh, your stomach. I literally can feel how your stomach felt.
Yeah. Like, you don't know when you're traveling all day, you just be hungry and tired, and yeah.
Who are these friends? I'm not saying they're terrible people, but I would have had to leave. No shade to her friends. I know Sister Shy has great friends. I'm one of her friends. But
yeah, I enjoyed my plain white rice and lettuce.
Y'all was supposed to leave. Now look, starve.
What makes me mad is looking back and I'm like, we're in California. We can find a million halal spots.
Imagine the people upstairs or next to them have halal food.
Literally.
I would have crashed out.
I feel like before, I don't know, it's like, I was never the type to be like, no, I need. I'm never the type to be like demanding and be like, no, we need to go somewhere that has like halal options or this or that. Mm-hmm. Like wherever my friends would pick, like I would just mentally be like, I'll find something on the menu. Like, you know,
same.
Like, something that I can have.
Same, but at the same time, since I know who you are and you don't want to impose, I'll be like, we gotta go because this girl tripped. You get a lettuce in the corner.
I was like, now, I'd be like, what is wrong with you? I'm not eating here. I'm not paying $30 to eat grass. Like,
no.
Let's go.
Yeah, I was like, I would have been like, oh, Sister Shay, let's go right now. We going to go to a place that serve fish. Or at least we all starving together. For mine, I went to a wedding. And the wedding was at like a hotel. Beautiful wedding. It was amazing. Alhamdulillah. Dinner time comes around.
Mm-hmm.
They're passing out the plates. It's chicken. I love chicken. I asked, hey, do you know this is halal? She said, what's that? I said, okay, I can't eat this. They gave me my plate and I was looking around. There was asparagus on top of the plate. So I was picking off my asparagus and some of my friends were giving me their asparagus that didn't touch the chicken. And I was eating it. And
I was in it. You just ate asparagus all night. They at least had like the bread. That's really sad.
Actually, they had a salad.
Okay.
So basically, get used to vegetables.
Get used to being a little hungry sometimes. Oh wait, I have another one. When I was coming back from Australia, it was like a 12-hour flight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And oh no, we had only 3 meals on that flight. Like 2 actual meals and then one was like a snack kind of thing.
Bacon, pork, and ham?
The first, on the way there, it was actually good. It was like, as far as plain food goes, it was like pasta. And I was like, oh, is there a vegetarian option? He was like, yeah, there's like pasta with like mushrooms. And that's it. I was like, cool. It was, yeah. But it wasn't bad. I was like, hey, there's something I can put my stomach away
on. Okay.
But then on the way back, I was like, oh, is there a vegetarian option? He was like, no. Imagine I'm sitting here just eating salad and a little bread and some fruit.
Oh.
I was so hungry. I was so mad. The man sitting next to me kept being all up in my space, and it was hot 1 second, and it was cold another second.
I think it was like this, huh?
No, literally. Okay. I feel like I'm too nice of a person sometimes when I'm in public, but he literally kept. And so at one point, I literally just.
Oh!
I was like, get up. Because he was asleep. Like, he fell asleep, and even the lady next to me, she was really, really nice. She was like, he keeps leaning on you, doesn't he? Like, yeah, she's like, you know what, I would just wake him up if I were you. I was like, you know what, you're right. So I just pushed him off of me because he was all up in my space. I'm already in the middle, it's tight. And yeah, I was having like whole in my head, I was like, so this is why you're not supposed to travel without a mom.
You learned your lesson that day. No, you didn't, because you still don't travel. We all have our weaknesses. Me included.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move.
It was a rough flight. So you had to have food and travel with my mom always.
You don't want to bed.
The problem is the mahrams don't be wanting to go where I want to come.
They'd be boring.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Like imagine if I told my dad to come with me to Australia. He'd be like, girl, boo.
I got a wife at home, leave me alone. My daughter.
Yeah.
My wife. Go. Go with the kangaroos. Kangaroo kingdom.
Oh,
that's what
yeah.
You call Australia. That's what the
I didn't see any kangaroos while I was there though.
They were hiding.
Yeah. But I was in the city.
Oh, yeah. City girl.
City girl.
That's literally what we are, unfortunately.
I love being a city girl. Like my friend who I went to visit there, she kept saying, I need to take you to see the nature and all this, and I was like, okay.
Australia ain't got nature, it got monsters.
No, they
because why would she threaten
the scenic stuff? Like, it's very scenic.
I know, but she was threatening you. She wants you to go visit some rattlesnakes. Some jumping
spiders. If I would have seen a spider or something, I'd been out of there.
For me, I would have to check my toilet. I would have to pee straddling the toilet in Australia. Because y'all don't gonna catch me slipping. A little frog jump up.
That's sick.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Australia is not. It's like Arizona. They're being punished.
We went to Arizona in the summer. You guys, when I tell you Phoenix, like, if you're a Muslim who lives there, I just know your iman is so high because you're already experiencing Jahannam on earth every single day you step out of your house.
Willingly.
Yeah. Like, you're choosing to experience Jahannam on earth every single day you step out of your house. So your iman, I just know you're an amazing Muslim.
SubhanAllah.
Like, oh my gosh. Like, you would, like, you'd be waiting for a breeze to come or something, but there was never a breeze. There's nothing. It was so bad.
Oh, mesquite. They think that's normal.
Yeah. Or even at night. I was like, okay, at night it'll cool down even just the slightest. No. I was sweating at night. I've never done that before. That's never happened to me before.
I remember when I first went to Arizona, it was like 2015, and, so it was, it turned night because I was like, okay, it's really hot. And then there were, like, it was a wedding, and so we were sleeping, and they opened the garage. I was like, ah, a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't breathe. Why is it 105 degrees at night? You can't catch a break.
No. Man.
You cannot catch a break in Arizona.
Unless you, like, go up north. It's really beautiful out
yeah.
there. And like the weather is really nice.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was. It was getting cold actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in Phoenix, mm-hmm.
I know why they call it phoenix. It's that bird that be going up in flames.
Yeah. Literally.
They mocking the bird.
You couldn't, I don't know, you'd have to pay me $1 million a year for me to move to Phoenix.
I'm telling you, that's not enough. When I was younger, I remember one of my friends told me, people asked her how she stays cool in the summer because of like all the layers. There wasn't that many layers, we were kids. Mm-hmm. All the layers, and she used to tell them we had ACs under our clothes, and I adapted that. I was like, yeah, AC units. And they were like, you're lying. Are you gonna check?
Right, how do you know?
How do you know? But strive hard. Like, literally bringing it back to our point, strive as much as you can to eat zabiha, because it talks about it in Surah Al-Ma'idah. I don't know the verses exactly, but it's better for you to try than for you to disregard it completely.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason we're supposed to be eating zabiha,
right.
And it's like beneficial for you. Just rack up as many good deeds as you can for the things that are easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
I agree. Plus, like, you know, don't let a chicken sandwich be in the way of you getting closer to Allah. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
It's another thing too is, like, I think we don't realize, like, how much being able to control your stomach can impact you in a good way in other aspects too. Like, it's so wild that the correlation between, like, over consuming food and, like, not being able to hold yourself back from other desires and temptations. Like, I think they really do go hand in hand. So when you're able to, like, control what you're putting in your body, what you're putting in your stomach, you will find that it gets easier to control other aspects of your life as well. And, like, find that discipline in other aspects of your life too.
Yeah. Don't overindulge in the things that you enjoy, because that'll lead to your downfall.
Yeah.
Like, even thinking about it health-wise.
Yeah.
I ate too much meat. I couldn't even stand up to pray. It was painful. It was so painful. Why can I still get limping?
But like, even think about times where like you literally eat so much food that you feel sick, and just it ruins your day. It doesn't make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to control that, and like, I think it's healthy to feel a little bit of hunger throughout your day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it also teaches you a lot about like not just giving into your desires without thinking about it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we're so used to just like, oh, a desire comes up, I have to fulfill it, I have to like satisfy that craving or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then being able to like be like, no, I'm gonna wait, you know, I'm gonna wait till I find, there's a restaurant that's close to me, but you know what, I'm gonna drive a little bit further because that one's had that, so I'm gonna wait a little bit longer, you know.
It's like a reward.
It is like a reward.
It's like a reward. Yeah, that's actually a really good reward.
But may Allah make it easy for you guys if you are trying to eat zabiha or make that transition or anything else you're trying to cut out.
No shame, because we struggled with it and we didn't understand it for a long time.
I still struggle with it because my brother, he'll come home with like a Chick-fil-A sandwich. I'm just like,
Chick-fil-A ain't even all that.
It's not, but when it's there, I'm like, wow. Well,
I'm trying to, I'm
scared. It is what it is.
Also, Wingstop, you said, stop.
Wingstop is not higher, right?
No. There are locations that are, though. Not here. You got excited.
Not here. Like, you go to the East Coast, bro, you'll find, like, a halal Wingstop, halal Popeyes, halal this, halal that.
Our Muslims need to step up, me included, but I need to stop saying I can't and stop saying I can't.
But also, I'm not into the food business.
That's
not for me.
I'm
in the business of eating food.
Girl, the health inspector gonna come. I can't cook. I can't cook for myself. When I lived alone, I would starve. Like, my sisters.
What did you eat?
I was lying the whole year. I don't know how I started. Towards the end, when I got injured and you guys brought me the stuff, you know how long it took me to finish that cake? I just would eat through it. Flowery sandwich.
She was living off of a cake, bro, for a month probably.
And then one of our other friends, she also bought me like halal Indian food, and I would eat it one day. I would eat your cake.
It's okay. I can't cook. You're
I think you're one of my only other friends who also is not part of the cooking club. All my other friends, they throw down, and I'm like,
so the thing is,
it's not me.
I can, I don't like to.
I can cook to survive. But you ask me for like nice meals and stuff, yeah, that's not me.
No, I can cook, I just hate cooking so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just hate cooking so much. I think,
I don't like cooking meat. Like cooking chicken, meat, all of that. I don't like cooking.
I just hate waiting.
Yeah,
like just give me my food.
See, and that's what we're talking about. Being patient.
No, but seriously, like I can cook if I really want to. Mm-hmm. It's just not preferred for me. Like I always think about, I'm like, dang, like my kids are gonna be hungry. They're gonna have girl dinner from the day they can eat.
I feel like that'll be like motivation. I don't know. I feel like it's different when like you're married or like you have kids. Like right now, I don't cook because I live with my parents and my mom. I know the thing is, she'll say, "Oh, if you cook something, I won't." But then she'll go and cook anyway. So I'm like, now we have all this food. There's only four people who live in my house. I'm like, we don't need to be making these big dishes. So then I just stop.
Wow.
Because then she makes stuff anyway. So then it's like, there's no point in me making food too.
And no food's better than your mom's food, to be honest. Yeah.
That's right.
No food's better than your mom's food. But yeah, that year that I lived alone, I'm so sorry. I don't know how I did it. I really don't.
Girl dinner every night.
My little sisters, when I moved back, my little sisters, they had a whole night dedicated to clowning me and my sister. They were like, we go to the house to chill, we open the fridge, there's nothing there.
They're not wrong. Her fridge was always empty. When I brought her the cake, she's like, I put it in the fridge. I opened the fridge. There's nothing.
You saw a tumbleweed?
What does this girl eat, bro? It's like, I should have brought her cake. I should have brought her food.
My health depleted. You got it. I was away. My dad saw me one day, and he looked at me and he said, what have you been eating? I said, what? Nothing. And he's like, you look like you lack vitamins.
Oh man,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe living in Texas would be good for you because everything's at your fingertips. All that food.
No, but I need to cook at home. It's not good.
For me, yeah. I've tried to like do meal preps to make it easier, but after 2 days, I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, I can't keep eating rice and chicken.
And especially because like I don't mind eating like the same thing. I'm someone who's okay with eating the same thing again and again. But it's just like, it sits in there. Like by the time you get to number five, it's been in the fridge for a week, and it tastes like the fridge. Like it tastes like refrigerator to me, and I can't.
No. Thank you guys for listening to us again. It's always fun. Mm-hmm. Don't take us too seriously, but don't take us as a joke either.
Yeah. I would suggest like go if it's something you're interested in doing, like eating only. So be from here on out, go do your research. Talk to people who are actual scholars and know what they're talking about.
And reach
this
out
was just our experience.
Exactly, sorry. And reach out to, if you have friends who eat sushi, reach out to them.
Yeah.
Maybe they can hook you up with restaurants. Maybe they can tell you where to go. Maybe they can encourage you.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I think we do ourselves a disservice by thinking that the journeys and transitions we're going through, we have to do it alone.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
At all.
Because I remember like when we found out that we both had started eating Sobeha around the same time, we're like, hey, okay, like.
Exactly.
And she would tell me about places, she's like, wait, did you know this place uses only halal meat? And I'd be like, wow, like, I didn't know that. Because it'd be like a non-Muslim one place. She'd be like, no, I call them and I check.
I call, so, I look at boxes, I don't care, I need to see it. I need to feel content in my heart. And our friends also, like, whenever we're invited to dinner parties, if they're using something that's not Sobeha, they'll be like, oh, you two don't eat that.
Yeah.
So like you don't have to be alone.
Or they like actually go out their way to get it. Like we have like a place that like sells all so we have like deli meat and stuff like that. So even like when
deli
they make
meat.
Like their yes, they have it at that one place.
I've been needing a turkey sandwich.
Yes. So like even now when I'll go to like my friend's house and they have like a cute charcuterie board, they're like, oh, you guys can eat that. It's all halal deli meat, by the way.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you know I used to love Subway. Okay.
Really.
Love the turkey sandwiches at Subway. Oh, you had a movie.
Yeah, we're not sponsoring.
Oh,
we're not sponsoring. We're not plugging them.
But literally, I used to love it. Subway, their turkey meat was mwah! And then I would eat their tuna, and I was like, this ain't it. So I stopped eating it. I love turkey sandwiches.
Do you remember when that whole thing came out about their tuna having pork in it?
Yeah.
I never went
Maybe
back
that's
after
what
that.
I was trying.
I don't know if it was true or not, but my mom sent it to me on WhatsApp. I was just like, well.
I think, yeah, I heard about that too. But yeah, I stopped. Mm-hmm. I stopped a way before that. Because I was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you gotta hit me up. Hmm? You gotta hook me up.
Yeah, bro. Use this place that you're thinking of.
I'm not thinking of anymore.
I don't want to say the name, but.
Okay. Eat
yeah.
to be high. Try your best.
Yeah.
Now love.
And let us know how it goes. Like, if you're starting, like, let us know how your experience has been. Like, if you have other tips or advice that maybe we forgot or didn't mention or just stuff we didn't know about, let us know.
Yeah, 100%. Because different people, I've noticed that I think a lot more people are being intentional with eating to be high nowadays.
Yeah.
And that's a really big step, because the more of us that are to be high, the more that accessibility will grow.
Yes.
Like Australia.
Because once we start demanding it, you know? I think the problem is a lot of American Muslims were very passive with it.
Mm-hmm.
But once we start demanding, like, well, we're just not going to eat at this restaurant until you accommodate us.
Yeah. If you let your excuses stop you in the way of greatness, you're never going to move forward.
Exactly.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, even if you do have an excuse,
yeah.
Try hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
This is especially for our North American Muslims. If you're from the UK or Australia, we don't want to hear nothing from you right now.
Yeah. Don't judge us, please. We kids. Kids, you might
we're learning, okay? We're
right.
trying.
You might be great as a behavior, but be trash as something else.
Exactly.
100%. But we
still like you guys. We still rock with you.
Like, that accent gotta go though.
Nor.
I think I've fallen off the floor, off the chimney. I want some bread.
Right. This video needs to end.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, thank you for tuning in.
We're gonna see our audience, and it's gonna say North America, and then our haters is gonna be UK.
Disliked.
Sorry, please. Mm-hmm. We just like to banter.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just taking the piss.
Put the camera.
Okay. Thank you for watching.
See you guys next week, inshallah.